Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Mark Rim, and we're going to do County Ledge Spotlight. And we're going to talk about the latest developments in the county legislature and what happened at the meeting on Monday night. So, Mark, was it a fun meeting?
Oh, yeah. I suppose that's how you define fun. But I think any time you have a chance to participate, we had a couple of big debates. And I enjoy it because you have a chance to research the issues and then stick up for what you believe in. And in the end, then you vote. And then the key after the vote is you can't take things personally. Some you win, some you lose. But the thing is just to kind of, do good homework, make good arguments, and then, respect the outcomes. And that's what, that's what the legislature is about. And we've had a lot of good debates, I think, this year. And oftentimes the Democrats are split and the Republicans are split on the vote, which is fine with me. Because I never thought much of all these party line votes in all these legislatures. I just think everyone should vote each time on the merits of the proposal.
So one of the issues that was brought up was the styrofoam ban.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about how that debate and vote went.
Yeah, it has a long history. The legislature, before I got there, approved a ban for the large chains using styrofoam in their food establishments.
Right.
The national chains you'd recognize. Last year, they tried to extend the ban to all food establishments. That includes all these little restaurants and things like that. And that was defeated in the legislature. But they brought it back again this year. And, the legislature's there's different leadership in the legislature now, and the current leadership prevailed, and they were able to pass the styrofoam ban 23-13. And I was opposed to it. I voted no, and I'm proud to say that all the Republicans who were present, we had one who was out of town, they voted no, and I give credit to the three Democrats who voted no also, Ilya Thier, Ralph Signoracci, and Sean Ward, and also Chris Smith,
okay,
who is a conservative. But he's in the Democratic Conference. He voted no. And I voted no because what was really interesting, and this is why I wish people would come. And by the way, they can watch these proceedings on videotape. So just Google Albany County Legislature, and you can get the legislative meetings and the committee meetings. They're all archived, which I think is really wonderful. But we had a spokesperson for the Capital City Rescue Mission in Albany, which you may be familiar with, Cynthia. And he said that if they have to eliminate styrofoam, it would cost them between $35,000 and $40,000 a year for alternative, because alternatives are more costly. And I'm thinking, wow, we're sticking a homeless shelter with a $40,000 bill that they're going to have to absorb, which means to me they're going to have fewer meals for homeless people, and probably and they call that progressive. So I think it was a mistake, but in the end, the ban proposal and proponents prevailed.
So, I'm sorry, what would you like to see? Well, you voted for the ban. So,
we've been promoting recycling. Here's the thing, the pro groups and some of these environmental groups, which, there was a letter in the Times Union from two environmental proponents, and they simply had a false statement in there. They said this didn't apply to nonprofits. That's completely false. And that's a little frustrating because that letter was widely circulated and with false statements in it. And then we bumped into that from time to time. What I'd like to see is recycling. But the truth is, these food waste is like, is like 2% of the styrofoam. Most styrofoam is when you get a TV or a microwave, the packaging. And that is much easier. That's much easier to recycle. And there are recycling plants. There's one in Madison County, which some of our members visited. Well, actually went out with Dan McCoy and visited there. So I think the focus should be more on recycling and not punishing small businesses and nonprofits, because we tend to do that in Albany County and in New York State, and that has had its consequences, as you can tell. We have this steady exit of people, for the last 40 years, I think, and that's a shame.
Do you think recycling will solve the problem?
I think it will help. I think ultimately
okay.
we want to find better alternatives for packaging. The problem is it's much more expensive to use something else. Now, they want to use paper cups. Now, wait a minute. Of course, paper, I don't have to tell you, we cut trees down to make paper.
Right.
But also, paper needs a wax coating, so you're adding a wax coating to the environment. So paper is not, you know, the great alternative. And some of the other alternatives cost a lot more, and that which was highlighted by the homeless shelter. Now, they didn't say it, but let's face it, you don't serve Tiffany China at homeless shelters. You serve Styrofoam at breakfast, lunch, and dinners because it's inexpensive and it's affordable. And so I think if we're going to do something, then we shouldn't be punishing any groups that are working hard just to survive. And that's where I come down on this.
Okay. Now, the proponents to ban the Styrofoam, what was their argument?
Well, some said it's a health problem, which has been debunked. That's just, and once again, that's, you know, if you drink out of a Styrofoam cup, you can be harmed. That's ridiculous. And President Obama's director of toxicology rebutted that. And it's not like, you know, it's just a Republican point of view. And the sponsor of the legislation, Rick Touchette, said that he basically stipulated it wasn't a health issue, it was an environmental issue. The Styrofoam gets in the environment, and that's a legitimate concern. And, my fellow legislators it's completely appropriate that they're concerned about the environmental impacts as the Styrofoam gets into the environment. That it's definitely a problem. So the question is, how do we balance it? And I think we should make a really serious effort to recycle it before we impose some burdens on really people that can least afford it. And that's the heart of the debate right there. And then it was the time to vote. And then when the vote came up, it was 23-13. I have to tell you, though, Cynthia, typically votes are a lot closer than that. But when people see which way the wind is blowing, they often will jump on the winning side. So even though it was a 10-vote margin, my view is it was a closer vote than that.
Okay. So there were other issues talked about at the meeting. What else transpired?
Well, there was a big debate over the appointments to some boards. We have in the county what we call an industrial development agency. And what they do is they take applications from folks that want to, create some jobs. And as a result of that, they have the ability to help out with some financing. And a lot of municipalities have IDA boards, too. And you have to watch them because, you don't want people giving out benefits just to political buddies. But there is the legitimate role. You a lot of times it's financing, giving lower cost financing. So it used to be that Gary Domalowicz, who's a member of the legislature, was the chairman of the IDA. But the new chairman of the legislature decided to have different people on. So obviously there's some sore feelings over that. And the other night, there's also what they call a Capital Resource Corporation, which is very similar to an IDA. And we voted on whether or not we were going to change the makeup of that. And Gary Domalowicz was upset. He felt like the chairman of the legislature, Andrew Joyce, had broken his word to him that he had promised that he would have a spot on that. But the chairman, he originally conceded that he made that offer, but he found he determined later on the law requires that the two boards be similar. So we're getting into the weeds a little bit because, honestly, I don't think five of my constituents have ever heard of the Capital Resource Corporation.
Uh-huh.
But it is significant because it speaks to the split that now exists in the Democratic Conference, largely a debate among Democrats. Why? Because they get to pick the appointments. I mean, they have the votes. So typically most of the appointments, occasionally the Republicans will have an appointment that they can put up. But generally the majority, and this is true of all legislatures, the majority chooses who gets appointed for the various things. So in some ways the Republicans were bystanders to this debate.
So as the conversation proceeded, were you surprised that there was such I don't know if I would use the word animosity, but let me use the word schism. Were you surprised over the depth of the schism within the Democratic County Legislature?
No, because we've had this now for a while. And as you know, we tossed out our chairman in January and put a new chairman in. So that's as clear. That's schism for you. So, you know, definitely the Democrats are split, and so are the Republicans. Oftentimes we have a group of four that go off on their own. And that happened, by the way, on this vote the other night. Five of us supported the chairman, Joyce, and I think the other four did not. I don't have the roll call right in front of me, but that was a split. So, split points of view, and there's split ideology. Some of it is based on ideology, and some is based on personality. A lot of the legislature, and this is true of every legislature, personalities play a role. There's no doubt about it. And I understand why Gary DeMolo was upset. I mean, he had a legitimate reason to be upset. He's being moved out. But the chairman, I voted yes because I think Chairman Joyce, I think it's his prerogative to have these appointees, and I supported him. And but it's, you know, there's definitely a different point of view on both sides of the aisle. By the way, the amendment and resolution failed, so the chairman Joyce lost those votes. And some people are saying, "Oh, that's a vote of no confidence," but I don't believe that. I think sometimes you're going to win those votes, and sometimes you're not. And you know, you go on, you look on to the next vote. I think it's really key not to take things personally in the legislature. Because, you know, everybody feels strongly about their positions, you know, and it's not like I have the unique possession of all wisdom, but, you know, I'm prepared to stand up and speak strongly for what I believe in. And that's what I did the other night.
So you said there's a schism both in the Democrats and the Republicans. From what you've observed, let's talk about the Democrats first. Who comes out where? What is the basis of the schism, and which side are the people on?
Well, it depends. We've had mixed votes. You know, the same people aren't voting the same way together on a lot of different votes. By the way, I like this. I like on every vote, you don't know what's going to happen, and there isn't a set party line this way and a party line that way, which is, you know, oftentimes, you know, as how Congress works and the state legislature. So there isn't a set group who vote the same way. So that's what makes it, I think, you know, interesting and exciting. So, but clearly, I mean, Chairman Joyce is trying to solidify his control of the legislature, and it's not easy. Because he was narrowly elected chairman. So when you have individual members who have a lot of say, when there's such a close vote, it's a very difficult thing to do, to manage. And it wouldn't be just Andrew. Anyone who had got elected chairman under these circumstances would have a difficult challenge. So that's just the nature of what things are. There's very different personalities in our legislature, and there's different ideologies. And those two form the basis of these disputes. That exist in the legislature. And I think what I try to do is just take every issue on the merits and just try to convince people to vote my way.
Now, do you think that these so-called disputes, or if you want to use the word schism, will this manifest itself for the next county legislative election?
I would say yes. Yeah, obviously, when you have different factions, you're going to have different candidates. So will there be – I think, are you asking, are there going to be primaries in the Democratic Party? I would say that's very, very possible. But, you know, I'm not an expert in the Democratic Party in Albany County. But what I've seen is I think that's a very good question, Cynthia. Will there be, you know, some challenges there? And I think that's very – possible.
Do you think it could get ugly?
Well, I hope not. you know, of the way I've always run my campaign, to say, this is what I stand for. What do you think? And, you know, and I think it's sometimes my role to point out my opponent's weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Although last time I hardly mentioned my opponent's name because he wasn't really well known in my district. So I had no reason really mm-hmm. to mention his name. And, you know, he clobbered, to be honest about it. But I think these arguments we're having, there's legitimate differences. Our constituencies are different. You know, the south end of Albany has a different constituency than Carmen Road and Gilderland. And, you know, and that's okay. That's, you know, we have this beautiful mosaic in Albany County where we had a lot of different kinds of people and different kinds of ideologies, and that's okay. That's what legislatures are for, to bring these things together and see if we can hash out our differences, and then ultimately we decide things with votes. And that's good, because as contentious as these votes may be, nobody fires a single shot. I enjoy debating ideas, and I mm-hmm. also enjoy making a difference. And there's a lot of ways to make a difference for your constituency. A lot of that's constituent service, which, you know, we haven't talked much about. But my job, I think, is to help my constituents any way I can, and I get a lot of calls. Sometimes they have nothing to do with government. They know who I am, and they know I'm connected right. to a lot of people. And I help my constituents any way I can, and that's one of the best things about politics, is that, you know, you're in a position to help people. And mm-hmm. helping people never gets old.
Do you think that is a notion that is almost from a bygone era?
I'll say again.
Okay. You said that you like helping people and you feel that's part of your job. Years mm-hmm. ago, when there was machines, you know, in urban areas, that was the function of the party. But that seems to have gone by the wayside.
Well, we had the, I think you're talking about the award system where, you know, you're talking about the city of Albany, where, you know, if you're Republican, you probably weren't going to get the pothole fixed in front of your house. That kind of stuff I don't like.
Right.
I mean, everybody should be treated fairly. But you'd be kidding yourself if you didn't think that existed and likely may exist to this day. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I think the party structure is in some cases waning due to media. People have other ways of finding out what's going on, especially now with social media. But there's still the role
right.
that the parties play. In fact, in Gilderland, we had this big caucus. They don't have a primary system, which I think is really terrible. But they have a caucus where everybody goes to the park and they pick the judicial candidate, which was very hotly contested and
uh-huh.
decided by 21 votes, you know. So I just think people, if you're not involved, then that's on you. There's plenty of opportunities to get involved in politics. And if you don't think you can make a difference, you're wrong. Because if you work hard and you really kind of keep the people's interest in mind, you can make a difference.
So you continue to do meetings throughout the rest of the year, right? There's no like hiatus of like 3 or 4 months where there's no
meeting.
Oh,
yeah, meetings. Yeah. Oh, no. Congress goes home for a big term. No. We, the second Monday of every month, we have a meeting. And in December, sometimes we have two related to the budget. And of course, we have committee meetings all the time. And the number of meetings is really astounding because you have to meet with other legislators. You meet with constituents, so I've lost track how many meetings there are a year, but it's a lot. And then sometimes we'll meet county executive staff to go over, get a little more detail on proposals. There's a big chore is keeping educated and keeping up to date on things. It's really hard because they throw a ton of paper at you, and you do your best to keep abreast of what's going on. And so there's a lot of misinformation. I'm really not happy with some of these groups that spread misinformation when they know better. And we just had, that letter to the editor of the Times Union was an example of that, where they had a blatantly false statement that really was really a significant error. And, that should have been corrected.
Yeah, but I think you're going to find that when people are involved, that they might stretch the truth a little bit. Do you agree?
Oh, or they have their view of the truth. I think everyone's entitled to their opinion, but not everyone's entitled to their own set of facts. So I think the role of the media, and the media needs to do a much better job of this, is really to explain the facts. The media, as you know, has become far too opinionated. And I don't think a media network exists anymore that's objective, which is, you know, for someone who's been in the media, in and out of the media my whole life, I'm very disappointed with the current state of media affairs. Because you're seeing commentary. It's laced with commentary. I want to know the news. You want to talk about the healthcare bill? I want a breakdown of what the bill is and what's in there and what it would be. I don't need a bunch of talking heads giving their opinions and what they think. Less of that and more with actual factual information.
I try to be pretty objective, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. No, you've been. That's why I love doing the show, because you're not afraid to ask me tough questions, but you do it in a civil, respectful manner. So that's why I enjoy this.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? Everybody that throws their hat in the ring and runs, and some wins and some loses, but just the idea of doing it and trying to make a difference. I think everybody who decides to make a difference should be respected, and I don't see that anymore. You know, I'm glad we're talking about that, because one of the things that I've been thinking about for many years is, you know, we have Veterans Day, we have Memorial Day, and those are important days in American history, and you know, they should be celebrated. But I think there should be a Candidates Day. And, you know, I don't mean that lightly. If there were no candidates, there would be no government. And people don't respect or pay honor to the folks that do step into the arena, work hard, whether they win or lose, they try to make a difference. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we have to expand the pool of applicants for candidates. That's really what's missing most. Cynthia, right now you get people who are interested in politics as a career too often, and I'm very much against the idea of a career politician, that you should do other things because you bring a different perspective. Like, I'm a small business owner. That's my principal activity, even though I spend an awful lot of time on the county legislature each week. But that's okay.
Right.
But I do think, once you make politics your career, you make decisions based on your career. That's only human nature. So I want to get more, for example, I want to get more small business people involved. We just have 3 small business owners in the legislature out of 39. I think that's really terrible.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to get more small business people. That's why we Todd Drake and Chris Smith and I formed the Small Business Caucus, so we could focus more attention on how we help small business. But it takes some guts to do it, and it's hard work. So I respect every candidate that throws their hat into the arena, because people say nasty things about you when you're when you're running, and you just have to have thick skin and just be poised to, you know, be convinced that you're trying to do the right thing, and then it's, you know, forehead and full speed ahead. That doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to criticism, but there's some criticism that's bogus, and you should treat it that way. And that's how I approach it. I've got to run to an appointment, Cynthia, but it was so good to talk to you again. I really appreciate it and look forward to next month's edition of the County Ledge Spotlight.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to be on Focus on Albany. So thank you, everybody, for listening. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment, hashtag Focus on Albany. Mark, have a great day. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Thank you.